It's good to be back with you this evening and good to have the opportunity to study God's Word together this particular week. We've been studying about the term mothers and looking at the devotional book, the One Word Study. If you've been looking at that, you've got a good amount of information to recall and to bring to your memory again as we study together this evening. Speaking of mothers, it is their unconditional and sacrificial love that leads a mother to exhibit a compassionate heart from which flows loving and kind words and deeds. The term mother implies to feed, to nourish, to protect, to sacrifice, to teach, to forgive, to give, to empower, to launch, and much, much more. Bible readers find these characteristics and others in mothers of the Bible, such as Jochebed, the mother of Moses, Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Hannah, first a stepmother to Elkanah's children, then a mother to Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1 and chapter 2. The real mother of the living child, which Solomon settled the dispute about in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 through 28. Naomi, who is better known as her role as mother-in-law to Ruth and Orpah, who referred to her daughters-in-law as my daughters, Ruth chapter 1 and verse 11. Mary, the mother of Jesus, of whom Elizabeth said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 45. There's also Lois and Eunice, the mother and grandmother of Timothy, who was complimented because of Timothy's genuine faith, which was first in them, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Mothers, grandmother, stepmother, mother-in-law, they're all in the text, and they are all of incalculable value in bringing up children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. In fact, the word translated fathers there in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, the first part of that verse, is the same word that's used when telling about Moses being hid by his parents in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23. So it would seem to be the case that mothers have a role in the discipline and instruction of their children, just as fathers are commanded to in Ephesians 6 verse 4. It's interesting to take a look at the term mothers or mother. In the Old Testament, it's used symbolically in reference to Eve when it's said that Eve is the mother of all living, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 20. It's symbolically used again of Sarai, the mother of nations, Genesis chapter 17 and verse 16. But the term is also used literally in the Old Testament, as we would imagine, Genesis chapter 28, verse 5, Rebekah being an example of that, the mother of Jacob and Esau. The New Testament uses mother literally in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18 in describing the relation of Mary to Jesus. But mother is also used or employed figuratively when Jesus spoke about those who do the will of His Father which is in heaven, being His relatives. He asked that question of, "Who is my mother?" But the one who does the will of my Father in heaven, Matthew chapter 12, verse 48, and also verse 50. The figurative meaning is also intended in Paul's statement in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6 when he said, "Jerusalem is our mother." But in thinking about godly mothers, I want us to consider this evening a woman who, as far as we know, as far as has been revealed to us, did not have children of her own. However, she was called a mother in Israel, Judges chapter 5 and verse 7. And her example sets forth principles that each mother who desires to be godly can follow. This woman is the only female mentioned in the book of Judges, and for some that may have given it away. We're going to be looking at Deborah in Judges chapters 4 and 5. We begin in chapter 4 as Deborah's story is revealed there. Israel had been in the suffering stage of that cycle they kept finding themselves in the period of the Judges, where they would sin, they would suffer a little while because of God punishing them. They would make supplication to God. God would deliver them and provide salvation or that deliverance for them. And they had been in that suffering stage for some 20 years. Because following the death of Ehud, the previous judge, Israel sinned. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who oppressed the sons of Israel for some 20 years by his commander, Sisera. Judges chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Now the sons of Israel cried to the Lord in verse 3, and at that time when they cried, they were under the judging of one named Deborah. Verse 4. The Bible reader is told that Deborah used to sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country, of Ephraim, and the sons of Israel came up to her for judgment. Judges 4 and verse 5. As the story would go, Deborah sent and summoned Barak, the son of Abinoam, and said to him, "Behold, the Lord, the God of Israel, has commanded, go and march to Mount Tabor and take with you 10,000 men from the sons of Naphtali and from the sons of Zebulun. I will draw out to you Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his many troops to the river Kishon, and I will give him into your hand." When Deborah revealed this to Barak, Barak agreed, but on the condition that Deborah would go up with him. So Deborah responded, "I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the honor shall not be yours on the journey that you are about to take, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hands of a woman." Barak gathered 10,000 men in preparation for deliverance. Those 10,000 men went up with him and Deborah. Verse 11 of Judges 4 introduces us to one named Hebron, or Heber. Heber was the wife of Jael, if you look ahead at verse 17 of the same chapter. The Lord routed Sisera's army that day. Judges chapter 4, we begin reading in verse 12. Then they told Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor. Sisera called together all his chariots, 900 iron chariots, and all the people who were with him, from Harosheth Hagion to the river Kishon. Deborah said to Barak, "Arise, for this is the day in which the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Behold, the Lord has gone out before you." So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. The Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army with the edge of the sword before Barak. And Sisera alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. But Barak pursued the chariots and the army as far as Harosheth Hagron. And all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not even one was left. So Sisera escaped and fled away on foot. And he took shelter, as we find in verse 17, in the tent of one named Jael, the wife of Heber, because there was peace between Jabin the king and the house of Heber. Now Jael invited Sisera in, where she covered him with a covering. But Sisera asked her for a little water to drink, so she gave him milk, then covered him. Verse 19. Continue reading there in verse 20. He said to her, "Stand in the doorway of the tent, and it shall be that if anyone comes and inquires of you, and says, is there anyone here that you shall say no? But Jael, Heber's wife, took a tent peg and seized a hammer in her hand and went secretly to him and drove the peg into his temple, and it went through into the ground, for he was sound asleep and exhausted, so he died. And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said to him, come, and I will show you the man whom you are seeking. And he entered with her, and behold, Sisera was lying dead with the tent peg in his temple. Deborah's declaration back in verse 9 of chapter 4, that the Lord would sell or surrender Sisera into the hands of a woman, came true. To die at the hands of a woman was a grave disgrace for the professional soldier. No pun intended. Verse 23 and 24 says, so God subdued on that day Jabin the king of Canaan before the sons of Israel. And the hand of the sons of Israel pressed heavier and heavier upon Jabin the king of Canaan until they had destroyed Jabin the king of Canaan. It well sums up the battle that day. As God took control, God did the fighting for His people. Deborah's story is told yet again in Judges chapter 5. But Judges chapter 5 is the poetic version of the battle with some supplementary information that is included. And so the Song of Deborah reveals to us that Deborah praised God for His deliverance of Israel, verses 1 through 5 of Judges 5. The mother in Israel describes how Canaanite harassment disturbed the commerce and the village life of the people of Israel in verses 6 through 11. Deborah honors the tribes who responded to and represented the children of Israel at Barak's call and rebuked those who refused to join them in verses 12 through 18 of Judges 5. She recounts the decisive moment of the battle and where it took place at Megiddo in verses 19 to 23. Deborah, the judge, repeats Sisera's shameful death in verses 24 through 27 before she depicts Sisera's mother as awaiting the return of her son, though she is unsatisfied, verses 28 through 30. Then Deborah praises the Lord once more, ending the chapter, Judges 5 and verse 31. The question we have is, what about Deborah would be useful to mothers? What about Deborah would help us in understanding the role of a mother? Though the Bible record of Deborah's life is brief, her impact was great. She was an ideal role model for every woman, especially those who are called to lead children. And so what we find in Deborah is one that was a judge. Verse 5 of chapter 4 reveals that she settled disputes which drew the sons of Israel to her. And it represents a godly mother, because a godly mother is a woman that draws people to her because she listens. She has patience. She is relatable. She teaches. She sets a good example. She exhibits undying love, untired sacrifice, untold influence, and unfailing faith. Deborah possessed a keen sense of discernment, as Proverbs 15 and verse 14 awards. As she trusted in God, Psalm 9 and verse 10, and brought order where there was chaos, Proverbs 31 and verse 27. She also obeyed the Lord, who insisted upon His will being done and not hers, Judges 4 and verse 6. If witnessed correctly, Deborah made reference to the Lord being in charge all three times her message to Barak is recorded. When she first tells Barak of what the Lord has commanded. She speaks of the Lord giving the command. When Barak asks for her to go up, she tells him that she will, and that the Lord will give the battle into his hands, but the honor will belong to another. There in chapter 4, verse 14 and following, when Deborah tells Barak it's time to go up, she says it's the day that the Lord has gone out before you. Deborah was constantly, it seems, reminding others of the Lord and the Lord's will. She held to what was right. She held to the Lord. And she made the chain of command quite clear. Judges chapter 4 and verse 14. But Deborah was also a woman of decision and action. There in chapter 4, verses 8 through 9, she decided to follow the Lord and do things His way. And in this, she led by example, but did not have to be in the front to lead. Instead, she was showing her care and concern for Barak as she gave him support and encouragement to go and carry out the Lord's will. Before the kings and rulers, Deborah praised God for His doings. Judges chapter 5 and verse 3 reveals. And as a mother that cares for her children, so Deborah led and nurtured the nation of Israel, giving her the right to claim herself as a mother in Israel. Judges 5 and verse 7. This godly leader praised the people who served her well. Judges 5 and verse 9. In fact, she even praised Jael, chapter 5, verse 24, because Jael was used by God to fulfill Deborah's prophecy stated in chapter 4 and verse 9. But it was the efforts of others that Deborah acknowledged in chapter 5, verses 12 through 18, praising those who joined the call of Barak to go up and to fight. Thus, the story of Deborah concludes by revealing that the land had rest for some 40 years following the triumph over the Canaanites. Judges chapter 5 and verse 31. So we see that Deborah was God's woman. She was a godly woman. Her leadership and her obedience to God's word and God's will resulted in a changed nation for an entire generation. And if we're leading others, and we might consider living based upon the motto that Deborah had, revealed in Judges 5, verse 21, she said, "Oh, my soul, march on with strength." March on in the Lord. March on with great strength to accomplish His will, even if our army is a small group of volunteers or our kitchen is filled with kids. We can learn from Deborah's leadership style by putting aside any personal agendas we may have, simply listening for God's clear direction and letting others know who's really running the show. So Deborah gives us several principles to live by. Principles that would be kind characteristics if stated of mothers today. Thus, we are encouraged by Deborah and the life that she lived to follow the Lord. To follow the Lord and to let Him use us to provide direction and encouragement in the lives of those whom we encounter. That leads us to a question. Are we following the Lord? Are we following the Lord? Listen to the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. Believe the message of that Word. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12. Love that message. Obey that message. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. It seems that Deborah did listen to the Word of God. She believed His message. She loved Him and loved His Word and obeyed it. The Word of God itself is the power of God for salvation. to everyone who believes. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. So we can follow Deborah's example even in our obedience to God. But are you a child of God? Are you a child of God that is following the Lord? God will continually cleanse those who follow Him, walking in the light as He is in the light, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. And if you have not been following God, as you should, then there is the instruction in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 to confess sin that has separated you from God, that's taken you away from following after His will. In Acts chapter 8, verses 22 to 24, we find the erring are instructed to repent and to pray. This evening, we invite you to take a look at Deborah, who was the mother in Israel, possibly a mother who had no children, but speaks to us today to encourage us to recognize that although we may not have our own children, we can still be a mother. We can still be a guide, a confidant who can encourage and uplift. So we encourage you this evening. We encourage everyone, in fact, to follow the Lord. This evening, as you examine yourself and see how you are following the Lord, if there's anything we can assist you with in your obedience to His will, let it be known as we stand and as we sing.